The Israeli military says it carried out two strikes on southern Gaza's busiest hospital, in which at least 20 people, including five journalists, were killed. The IDF didn't say why it had targeted the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. The second strike occurred as rescue workers arrived and other people tried to flee. Jérôme Grimaud is the emergency coordinator for Médecins Sans Frontières in Gaza. A short time ago, he told me what he knew about the attacks.
Nasser Hospital was hit twice, and when it was hit about 3 hours ago now, we had 50 plus MSF colleagues operating in the hospital in various departments. Three of them were extremely close to the strike in the laboratory of the hospital near the blood bank. Fortunately, they are safe. One staff was lightly injured, but I can say we were extremely lucky.
The Nasser Hospital is the largest hospital in southern Gaza, but this isn't the first time it's been struck.
Actually, yes, you're right. It's the third time this year. First time was in March, second in May, and now today. Those strikes happen without warning. So there is no chances for anyone to escape or find shelter. As we speak, the hospital is facing what we call an MCI, a mass casualty incident, where a number of wounded are being accommodated. So they have just faced two strikes, and you see they need to continue operating, and now they are taking care of a mass casualty incident.
It's hard for the rest of us to imagine what that must be like, that you're already under immense pressure and then your hospital is struck by a missile.
That's true. I mean, people have to realize that hospitals are almost sacred places, protected by international law. They should not be affected by the conduct of conflicts. And for our personnel who go there on daily basis, you can imagine the fear they have in the morning going there, not knowing actually if they are safe when they care for patients. It also reveals how unsafe is the Gaza Strip. There is absolutely nowhere to go, not even an hospital in the Gaza Strip, where you would feel that it's okay to be there. It's safe to be there. And we need to remind everyone listening that Gaza is this immense cage where people cannot flee from. And they are trapped in a cage and they cannot cross a border to find protection elsewhere. So they move from one unsafe place to another, including an hospital.
Has the Israeli military said anything to you about what happened this morning?
They have issued a press release. I have to say that I have not gone into it so far, but I think they are probably going to explain, as they do each and every time, that their target on a civilian facility on a hospital was legitimate. This is a standard, unfortunately, a narrative that we have heard since day one, and which is very concerning for a liberal democracy as Israel is.
And that was Jérôme Grimaud, the emergency coordinator for MSF in Gaza. We can talk now to Greg Karlstrom, who's the Middle East correspondent with The Economist. Greg, what else has been emerging about what happened at the Nasser Hospital this morning?
I think two things that are significant about the strike, and I'll say first, we don't have any explanation from the Israeli army of why they struck this hospital, what they might have been targeting. They really haven't explained. But I think what's striking about it is that this looks like it was what's called a double tap strike, right? There was an initial, what's said to be a drone strike on the hospital, and then shortly thereafter, as journalists were gathering to film the aftermath, as medics and rescue workers were coming to dig through the rubble to look for survivors, then there was a second strike. So it looks like It was deliberate. It looks like it was a sort of deliberate 1-2. And then the identities of the victims, we know one of them was a cameraman who worked for Reuters. Another one was a freelancer who's worked for the Associated Press on a freelance basis for the past 2 years. Those are two of the four journalists who were killed, and then again a number of medics and aid workers killed as well.
And I was looking at some of the photographs taken by Mariam Daga for the Associated Press, and quite a few of them were of injured people and sick children in hospital. So it's probably safe to assume that she spent a lot of time in that area. I mean, there was a time when a strike on a hospital would be enormous news, but as we were hearing there from MSF, this is the third time that this particular hospital has been struck.
Right, and just about every hospital in Gaza has been struck at some point or another during the war. I mean, it's remarkable, as you say, if you go back to the early months of the war in late 2023, early 2024, when Israel occasionally carried out strikes on hospitals, there was at least some effort to justify why these facilities might have lost their protected status. Remember, Shifa Hospital, the main hospital in Gaza City, which was raided by Israeli troops last year, and Israel claimed, albeit with very little evidence, that that was being used as a command center by Hamas. But we've reached a point now, 2 years into the war, where these sorts of strikes are routine, where Israel routinely bombs hospitals in Gaza and then very often doesn't even attempt to offer a justification for why it did so.
Tell us about these other reports emerging today. The reports that the IDF's chief of staff has said that there is a deal on the table to secure the release of the remaining hostages.
Right, and he's correct about that. There is a deal that Hamas in the past week has agreed to, and it's more or less the deal that Israel has been demanding for the past few months. It would be a 60-day truce, a temporary pause in the fighting. 10 of the 20 living Israeli hostages would be freed, along with probably 18 bodies of hostages who died in captivity. Those would be returned to Israel in exchange for Palestinian prisoners. Again, this is the deal that Netanyahu has said that he wanted for many, many months. But just as Hamas is now agreeing to it, which they've done recently in talks in Egypt, Netanyahu has changed his mind, and he's now demanding a permanent ceasefire, but on conditions that are favorable to Israel. Hamas would have to agree to disarm. It would have to agree not to play a role in the future governance of Gaza. Netanyahu asking for things in this permanent deal that Hamas is very, very unlikely to agree to. And so that means we're unlikely to reach an agreement.
Greg Karlstrom, thanks indeed for talking to us this afternoon.